right, everybody. Welcome to the amazing Spider Webcast. It's been a very long time since we've had an episode of this. And so I want to tell y'all what's going on. What's going on is that I was doing the show and I just kind of was finding I had no time for anything. You know what I mean? You just have periods in your life where you're like busy as hell, and then other periods where it seems like you're not. And it doesn't make any sense, right? Because like sometimes I had someone tell me once, it was like, he was like, I don't understand how you get so much stuff done, because like we have the same 24 hours in a day and I feel like I do nothing. And you do like podcasts and blogs and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. But now I'm in that seat, right? Where I'm like, I'm the one who doesn't understand how I got things done. But anyway, it's back. And this is a major change in what we were doing. Because what I was originally doing was going through all the issues of Amazing Spider-Man one by one, with Amazing Fantasy 15 at the beginning. I've since changed my mind. Now, the idea for that came about because I was going to read all of Amazing Spider-Man from the beginning, because I got them on Marvel put out these like DVD ROMs sometime in the 2000s, I think, of several series like Avengers, Captain America. I think there was an X-Men one, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, etc. And this was like, and so I got one of the Spider-Man ones and I had all the issues and I was like, this is amazing. I can read all these now. So I started reading them and like, I was going to read all of Amazing Spider-Man. I still have in my desk, it's like a little sheet where I was crossing off all the issues I'd read. Now, I wasn't starting from total scratch either. It wasn't going to have to be like one through, I don't know, 700 or so at the time. Because I had definitely read like one through about 100. And then I also had read probably somewhere from around 500 on. So, you know, I already had a good chunk of them. If there were 700 at the time, I'd read just under half, maybe. And then, you know, I'd read little sections here and there, because back in the day, it was a lot harder to get like a comprehensive, you know, omnibus edition of stuff. Kids might not know this, right? You kids out there don't know, but like, it was difficult to get, for example, the entire Clone Saga and to read the whole thing, right? Because you had to read Amazing Spider-Man, Sensational Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man, you know, whatever, Spectacular Spider-Man, all these different books to kind of get the whole story. So, you know, at the time when I started reading through, I was like, I'm just going to read Amazing Spider-Man and that's good enough. And I was still working on that, and I had gotten up to about issue 300, just beyond 300, and I was starting to get into the territory where there were multiple Spider-Man titles coming out every month. And so things would happen in the other titles that were referenced in Amazing Spider-Man. I didn't get quite so far to where it was like, I can't read this shit because I don't know what's happening because I didn't read a Spectacular Spider-Man. But it was like characters would be introduced in Spectacular, show up in Amazing, and I would get the little like, as we remember from the last issue of Spectacular, Smile and Stan or whatever. So I started thinking like, this is going to get worse as I go, not better, right? Like as you go, the different titles cross over more as opposed to less. And there are periods where, you know, it kind of, they bring it, snap back to reality and like bring it down and it's all good again. But, you know, then they'll have a major event and blah, blah, blah. So what I found was a spreadsheet that had basically all of Spider-Man Earth 616 continuity. So for the uninitiated, that's basically the Spider-Man we know, right? It would not include Ultimate Spider-Man, for example, which is a sort of alternate universe Spider-Man. It wouldn't include like what if stories with Spider-Man in it. But it would include like Amazing Fantasy. It would include Amazing Spider-Man, etc. One of the things that was really appealing about this to me is there's a series from the 90s called Untold Tales of Spider-Man, which I loved. It was one of the first comic book series that I got really into, and I was trying to find all the issues and stuff like that. And I've always wanted to reread it. But what was cool is they made Untold Tales of Spider-Man. I think Kurt Busiek wrote it. And what he did is like go through the first, I don't know, maybe year or couple years of Spider-Man stories. And he wrote little stories that kind of could be inserted in between those early stories. And I thought that was a great idea. I enjoyed reading it at the time. You didn't have to like read it super in order or whatever. Like it was fine to just kind of read the Untold Tales of Spider-Man as their own book. Which was kind of part of what was cool about the way it was written, right? But anyway, this reading order would include those stories. And it would include a bunch of other stuff that kind of had been published. And it was like, this is a story from the 60s you didn't know about. In fact, the first issue of this reading order is Amazing Fantasy 15. And the second issue is a book called Amazing Fantasy 16, which came out like in 1995, I think. So, you know, it was much, much later, but in the in-universe continuity comes out right after Amazing Fantasy 15. So I've decided to try and read this Earth 616 continuity of Spider-Man. And that's how this podcast is going to work from here forward. So we're starting again at Amazing Fantasy 15, which I'm a little disappointed because, you know, I'm going to have to like retread stuff. And I thought about, I was like, maybe I should just cut in the initial episode I did for Amazing Fantasy 15. And I was like, that's pretty lazy. Like if I'm going to make you listen to it again, I should just do it again, right? And then I was like, maybe I should listen to it because it's like, if I'm about to say all the same shit I said then, that wouldn't be great. But I'm like, that was probably fucking 10 years ago. So who cares? So that's what's happening. I'm going to be going through Earth 616 Spider-Man issue by issue and work my way up. Maybe celebrate when we get to, you know, wherever we were in Amazing Spider-Man, probably in the 20s or 30s or something. Which, you know, if that tells you anything, that's how long it was taking me. My hope is to do this about every other week. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to like stretch it out or anything. So this may be a shorter podcast sometimes. It may not be a terribly long thing. Fucking deal with it, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. So without further ado, Amazing Fantasy 15. So I'm going to go through each book. I'm going to just cover some things. I might kind of go through the plot, but you know, it'll be more things that stick out to me, especially in these issues that I assume most people know. Most people are familiar with Amazing Fantasy 15 or the general story, especially because if you've seen a Spider-Man movie, you have a pretty good idea of what happens. The first Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie follows the storyline of Amazing Fantasy 15 pretty closely. Just real quick on the cover. It's a very iconic cover, often parodied, whatever. It's pretty amazing how dead on Spider-Man's costume was from the beginning. Like it was pretty much, it's very changed very little. Oh, in the, you know, fucking, how long has it been? Like 60 years or something like that. They kind of nailed it right out of the gate, right? He is a little bit, Spider-Man has just a little bit of a power tummy, which, you know, I don't hate it. But it, you know, they made him quite slender actually on the following page, you know, because he is skinny bookworm Peter Parker. So we open on a page and it's got Spider-Man and it's got a little drawing of him in costume and he's very gangly and awkward looking. which is what I've always wanted to see in the movies and haven't really seen. My objection to most of the movies outside of the Sam Raimi movies is that the people cast as Peter Parker / Spider-Man are too cool. You know what I mean? They're handsome. They're cool. You know, they're not. I think people disliked Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. The people who did dislike him as Spider-Man dislike him because he's kind of weird, right? And like, that's what I like about him. I do also like it's very of the time because it was like, well, at that time, yeah, like a 30-year-old is in high school. That's just what we did. There was a throwback to that recently. I felt like in Stranger Things. I felt like, because, you know, the kids in Stranger Things were aging in real time, and they kind of started the show at a very awkward time in their lives as far as, like, if you want kids to kind of look the same, I feel like you have to get them from, like, 5 years old for a few years or starting at, like, 17. But when you start them and they're, like, I don't know, 12, you're fucked because they're going to look completely different in 4 years. So I felt like what they did in Stranger Things was try to cast other people even older. You know what I mean? Like the older brothers or Steve or whatever. They're like, let's find someone who's like 30, you know, and then relatively it'll seem like these kids are much younger. Because if Steve is supposed to be 18, then it would make sense that these kids are 12. Anyway, it's just something I've always kind of wanted to see, and something that does happen in the comics occasionally is Spider-Man is presented as sort of awkward, not fitting in with other superheroes very well. And it's something that I really appreciated and I think is a little bit of the secret sauce that makes Spider-Man work as a character and makes people identify with him, is because he's not cool. He's not, you know, beloved as Peter Parker, really, at times. So anyway, it starts out and they're making fun of Peter Parker, and some guy is like, say, gang, we need one more guy for the dance. How about Peter Parker over there? And, you know, they're all like, hell no. What? And immediately I thought this was funny because I was like, who needs another guy for the dance? You know what I mean? If you have a dance that you're doing and you have more girls than guys, that's fine. You know what I mean? That's fine. I don't want to come off as like sexist and like a boomer or something, but it's like, yeah, I don't think that's a problem. I think the other way around is more of a problem. One time, we were renting a house and it was close to a college and we had a Halloween party. And like, I was like, I don't know, 30 at the time. Let's say 30. And so we had a Halloween party and there were, you know, I don't know, 15 people or something there at one point, and died down to, you know, I don't know, 10-ish. And like at some point during the party, the doorbell rang. And so I went to answer it and there was these two guys at the door who were in college and then a whole line of people going like down the steps and out to the sidewalk. I mean, there must have been 25 people in line. And they were like, hey, we're here for the party. And I like laughed at them and I was like, no. And I was like, oh no, this is like a grown-up party. And this girl standing behind them was like, we're all 21. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we're no. Get the fuck out of here. But I did stop the guys and I was like, can I give you some advice? I was like, the next house you go to, you've got these girls standing behind you. Put the girls in the front when you're trying to get into the party. Don't you two guys stand in the front and like go try to go in. Put them in the front. That is a much better chance of entry to the party. It's not going to get you into this party because nobody cares, but, you know, just some advice. So I don't know. I don't think you really need more guys at the dance. Anyway, we get a pretty quick rundown of Peter Parker's life. He's a nerd. His Aunt May and Uncle Ben, you know, dote on him and really love him. there's a great panel where it's like, you know, and he's like an honors student. And then we have this. But alas, other teenagers can sometimes unwittingly be so very cruel to a shy young man. Peter Parker. Sally, I was wondering if you're busy tonight. Sally. Peter, for the upteenth time, you're just not my type. Not when dreamboats like Flash Thompson are around. Flash, I admire your good taste, doll. Get lost, bookworm. And I'm like, other teenagers can sometimes unwittingly be so very cruel. And she's like, he's like, I'm wondering if you're busy tonight. For the upteenth time, you're just not my type. I don't know. You know, mixed feelings, right? Because they're like, on one hand, I mean, Peter Parker, if he gets a no, should take the no, right? But on the other hand, I think he was trying to ask her, there's a great new exhibit at the Science Hall. Would any of you like to go with me? So, you know, she could have become Spider-Woman. So maybe she fucked up. Then, okay, so then we have the scene. He gets bit by the radioactive spider. And then he's like, my head, it feels strange. I need some air. And these bald scientist assholes are like, looks as though our experiment unnerved young Parker. Too bad, he must have a weak stomach. And I'm just like, fuck you, Baldy. Like, what is your problem? Like, fellow teens are being dicks. Old bald guys, nerds, are being dicks to Peter Parker. And then he's like distracted by, you know, he feels some kind of weird feeling in his fingertips. And a car comes around the corner and Peter Parker leaps to safety. He almost got hit by a goddamn car. And the people in the car say this. That was one egghead who won't daydream anymore when he crosses a street. You can say that again. And I'm like, this fucking asshole almost killed this guy. He doesn't even know. With his car and he's like, that egghead won't daydream anymore when he's crossing the street. Another guy's like, you could say that again. And I'm like, the world really is very cruel to Peter Parker in this book. Like, very quickly we establish that the, you know, like, people go out of their way to be mean to him. And we'll get to this in a second. So then Peter Parker's like climbing up a wall and this little kid's walking with his mom. And it's like a Charlie Brown thing, right? Where you only see her legs. And the kid's like, mommy, look at that man walking up the side of a building. And she says, that's the last horror movie I take you to, young man. Like, she doesn't believe him. What I love about this is that it's like, I love in, you know, a movie or a comic or something when you have this, like, a kid's like, mom, look at this man's climbing up the wall. And mom is like, can't even be bothered to turn her head 45 degrees. You know what I mean? Like, can't even be bothered to look at, like, what the hell is this kid on about now? She's just like, Jesus Christ, shut up. Something I like about this, too, is like, we're on page 3 and powers have manifested, right? And then, like, by page 5, we have the wrestling match with Crusher Hogan. Crusher Hogan? Crusher Creel? Crusher Hogan. And, you know, so Peter Parker defeats him in a wrestling match, despite looking puny and Crusher Hogan being gigantic. Looks like the Kingpin, but not trying to convince anyone that he's actually just super ripped and that's why he looks so fat. He's like a kind of ripped that we've just never seen before. I think this is like one of the few things, you know, like, I'll probably talk about the movies here and there and this, right? One of the few things that I do think was better in one of the movies is this wrestling sequence, right? With Bonesaw, played by Macho Man Randy Savage. Now, let's be fair. Amazing Fantasy 15 came out like in the late 60s, and Spider-Man, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, came out in like 2001, 2002, something like that. So like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man definitely had an advantage in that, like, pro wrestling was a much more established thing and they could make it a much more flamboyant, crazy thing. But I have to say, Macho Man Randy Savage's Bonesaw was perfect. He was so good. And it's so memorable. And he just seems crazy, right? Like, he just seems like they let him loose in the ring. And he's just like, all I want to do is crush people. And like, I live for this. I love doing this. I would do it for free. And you're like, yeah, this is kind of what I want from like a wrestling madman. Also, that's the sequence in which Bruce Campbell makes his cameo, of course, the beloved Bruce Campbell, and names him Spider-Man, the amazing Spider-Man, because he's like, I'm the human spider. And Bruce Campbell's like, oh, that sucks. Anyway, that's an instance where the movie got it better. It did have a lot of advantages over the book just because of the way culture had developed, if we can call pro wrestling culture. And if we can not be mad about that, and also not be mad about me saying if we can do that. But anyway, he wins the wrestling match. We're on page 6 and he develops his web shooters in like 2 panels. He has his full costume. He's climbing a web, sticking to the ceiling. And basically 6 pages in, we're there. And I fucking love this because I'm like, this would be a 19-issue miniseries today. Like, storytelling in comics has become so decompressed. And it's like, it makes you feel when you're reading comics, like sometimes when I read older comics, what I like about them is it just seems like every issue, they were just putting everything into it because they're like, fuck it. Like, maybe we won't write another one of these, so let's just put it all in and see what happens. And also, there feels like it's this attitude of like, well, you know, if this doesn't work, we'll write something else. So we're not saving stuff. You know what I mean? We're not like, well, we got to make this last for a year and a half. It's like, if this is the only ever time Spider-Man appears, fine. Anyway, then Spider-Man's on TV, you know, does all that shit. And like, this is, and then, you know, we have him not stop the thief who, I don't know, stole money. We don't even really know what he stole, right? And then Spider-Man just lets him go and he's like, save your breath, buddy. I got things to do. And he goes home and Aunt May and Uncle Ben give him a microscope. You know, they saved some money, bought him a microscope, and he's like, they're the only ones who've ever been kind to me. I'll see to it that they're always happy, but the rest of the world can go hang for all I care. And like, reading it this time, it did make me think. I was like, something that this comic does a good job of that I don't think we all think about much is like, we all think about, right, like Peter Parker, Uncle Ben gets shot. It was his fault for not stopping the criminal. And he really beats himself up over it. And like that, you know, launches the rest of his superheroing career. But I have to say, it's like, it's very understandable when you read this issue why he didn't stop the crook. Because it's like, everybody in the world is treating him like shit. Like his fellow students, fellow kids are treating him like shit. Random people are almost hitting him with their car and don't even give a fuck. Like, they don't even stop or anything. You know, and like everybody in this book, other than his Uncle Ben and Aunt May, are treating him like garbage and fairly aggressively. So like, it kind of makes sense. I guess, I mean, also you can't help but look at it with 2026 eyes, right? Because you're like, yeah, I mean, it's not worth, like, if some guy took some money from somebody else and it's like you could stop him. But you're like, I don't know, man, like if he had a gun, and I'd be like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's like running out of a movie or a TV studio with a bag of money that he's not supposed to have. But like, in 2026, you can't help but think like, I mean, who, you know, what, how much does this TV studio need that money? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So it's a little, it's very easy to understand why he wouldn't stop that crook. Maybe this is just me aging and becoming cynical. I'm just like, okay, let's put it this way. If Peter Parker was my son and I didn't know he had Spider-Man powers, I guess I would just sort of be like, if he didn't stop a criminal who was running out of a thing with a bag of money, I would probably just be like, yeah, that's fine. Or like if my son worked at Best Buy and it was like somebody was running out of Best Buy with, you know, a handful of cash that they stole out of a register because for some reason there's cash at this fucking Best Buy, I wouldn't expect him to tackle the guy. You know what I mean? Because I'd be like, I mean, what are you tackling him for? For Best Buy's money? You know what I mean? I guess, though, the big thing that I'm sort of ignoring is like, well, he's Spider-Man, right? And he is Spider-Man. He's dressed in a Spider-Man costume at that time. So it's not like he was Peter Parker and didn't stop him. He was fucking Spider-Man. And it's like, okay, yeah, he could have easily stopped the guy as Spider-Man. Let's be real. So, you know, maybe that's like the sort of, I mean, I'm overanalyzing this really hard, but maybe that's the, you know, the whole thing here. Anyway, it makes a little more sense to me that he wouldn't stop the guy in this time reading this, because I just feel like the world really has treated him like shit, you know? And it's like, I don't know how obligated I would feel to the world if I was him. Let's put it that way. So anyway, he confronts the crook at the warehouse, punches him, doesn't kill him. This is like a big thing that goes back and forth between different continuities, movies, comics, whatever. But in the Amazing Fantasy 15, he does not kill the guy. He just knocks him out, which is a thing that you could do in the 60s. It's a little known fact. Human beings in the 60s could be knocked out and it wasn't like they had permanent brain damage. But now we know. Now, because all these nerd scientists taught us about CTE and stuff, we know you can't just do that. Anyway, he punches the guy, realizes that the guy who killed his Uncle Ben is the same guy he could have stopped earlier, and a superhero career is launched. I will read you this last panel. And a lean, silent figure slowly fades into the gathering darkness, aware at last that in this world, with great power, there must also come great responsibility. And so a legend is born, and a new name is added to the roster of those who make the world of fantasy the most exciting realm of all. The end. There's something funny and sad that I don't think was intended here about Spider-Man walking. You know what I mean? About just walking away. It kind of reminds me about that part in the movie The Crow, when The Crow visits Ernie Hudson and Ernie Hudson is like, so are you going to go like flying out the window or whatever? And he's like, I thought I would just use your front door. And you're like, oh, this is a very humanizing thing. Spider-Man just walking, very humanizing. I don't know how many more times we'll see that in the course of these books. I'm guessing not many. But, you know, I guess that remains to be seen. So there we go. We did it. We've gotten through one issue of the well over 1,000 that are available to cover. Should we do the math real quick? Okay. Let's just say there are 1,000 issues to make the math easy. And if I did one every other week, it would take me 40 years to complete this podcast. And that's assuming that none came out in the meantime. It's possible that right now there are more Spider-Man comics being published than two a month, which it seems almost certain that that's the case. So we'll never catch up. So this is a futile effort. So thanks for joining me in this futile effort. Oh, one other thing, real quick, just some housekeeping before we finish. I'll probably also do some diversions into some other Spider-Man stuff. I read a book about the Spider-Man musical one time. I have like a collection of some of the newspaper comic strips of Spider-Man. So, you know, every once in a while, we'll go into a sort of other topic and diverge a little bit just for funsies, right? Just because maybe something catches my fancy. Maybe I'll read something that's outside of the 616 continuity, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, but it'll be Spider-Man-y. It's just kind of a comprehensive Spider-Man thing that when I don't know what the fuck to talk about, we'll just move on to the next issue. All right. We'll see you next time, webheads, webcast heads, webcasters. We'll work on a sign-off. Bye.
Like a vine, look out. Here comes the spider.